Over the past 21 years, there's been a steady flow of Aboriginal hip-hop. In fact, you can even talk about Aboriginal hip-hop as a genre. There's been a host of acts, people like Native Rhyme Syndicate, Brother Black, The Last Connection and Impossible Odds. Well now, Q Jimbla. From being a burgeoning DIY artist making a name for himself in South Australia, Jimbla caught the attention of the premier independent Australian hip-hop label, Elephant Tracks, who'll release his second full-length album, Phoenix, next month. In conversation here with Rico Adrian, Jimbla talks about why he felt drawn particularly to music when he could have been an actor or a painter instead. And he plays guest DJ, talking about some particular songs that have shaped him as an individual and inspired him as an artist. And off the cuff, he raps for us.
First track I chose is called Moonstruck by Kev Carmody, because I did a rendition of Can I Buy My Soul, which is such an amazing song of his. And then I sent it to him to get his blessing to be able to put it on the next album. And he was like, man, love it. It's really good. It's beautiful. Da, da, da. And I was just like, ah. And then the last thing he said was, I got a ton of other ones sitting there. Go have a look and go all out on them. And I was like, wow, look out. I was going through a good couple, and I heard that one. I was just like, wow, because it's it's like a 3-4 timing or something. It's real different, but yeah, it's a beautiful song. Nice, really stripped back, you know, guitar, him. It's such a nice song, so.
When the western skies blaze and the sun lays down to rest, when the curlew starts to cry and the birds fly home to roost, when the full moon begins to rise, satin moonbeams on the face, beauty of the night goes far beyond both time and place. No one's lost who finds the moon or the sweetness of the water's bloom. Rebirth with the rain in spring, dingoes howl on the autumn wind. Spirit of the moon here calls me home. Whoa. Spirit of the moon here guides me home.
For you, Russ, was it always going to be music as a creative outlet? Or is there a visual arts component to your creative makeup, like any acting aspirations, dancer, painter?
Well, my whole family's into the arts, you know. My mum's heavily involved with painting, and she does a lot of work within that industry. My sister's an actor. My dad's a big muso, you know, from way back. So I think it was inevitable, one of the two, you know, like, I was doing acting when I was much younger. I appeared in Australian Rules.
Oh yeah,
in this movie with Lukey Carroll there, Lisa Flanagan. That was my debut. Couldn't act to save my life, but you know, it was good fun. I'd love to, like, I have a huge respect for acting and movies as well. I'd love to really get into it. I'd love to get into like writing. Because I've always been big on writing, like in telling stories. So I think, you know, it's definitely something I'd love to get into later down the track. But it would have been one or the other, I think, you know.
Last time we spoke, Face the Fire was released and you were on that Save the Kimberley tip. What Up Fam was in the works. You were filming it when you were in town.
Yeah.
Is it just me or have you not stopped since then?
Like, it's all I do, you know, so and if I'm going to do it, I might as well do it to the best of my ability, you know, and go hard with it. So I've still been working full time up until just recently with the work at Woodville High, at high school there. But yeah, man, like I couldn't stop if I tried, you know, especially with music and being in the studio. If, you know, we finished the album and I've been out of the studio for like 5 weeks now.
Yep.
And, or, you know, 2 or 3 weeks into that, I'm already feeling like something's missing anyway, you know? So it's like, and I never am able to quite put my finger on it until I go, oh, that's right. I haven't even been doing anything, you know? So it's good. It's a good feeling, you know, getting busy. And so I've been doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes, you know? So I went away and finished the album. So obviously that's not so much at the forefront and people don't see me getting busy on that in that regard. So, yeah.
The big news between the last time we spoke and now is getting on board with Elephant Tracks.
Oh, man. First time I met, like, Earthboy and all those, like, Dale and Rich, was that we supported them for The Herd. And, oh, such beautiful people, man. And, you know, Timmy Earthboy was already helping me heaps with stuff, like, you know, and just giving me advice. And I was going to him with stuff like, oh, what can I do to, you know, better my career or further my chances or what, you know, that kind of stuff. And I was kind of had an inkling, you know, I was like, oh, I hope, wouldn't that be cool, you know, and then got a phone call while I was shopping and shop there and then, yeah, hit me up. But it's a blessing, hey, like those mobs are so on the ball.
Yep.
The way it works is like it feels more like a family, you know, like when you do business with people, it can kind of, you know, you can kind of see the huge difference between that's business.
Yep.
And they're, you know, they're acquaintances and then you can, you know, they can be friends, but end of the day, that's business, you know, but it's with the mob, you know, and I've seen it, like my music go from strength to strength, you know, so coming this time around with the second release, you know, they've just upped the ante that much, you know, so.
We'll talk about the second release in a second, but how different is it now being aligned with a label, you know, before when you was independent?
It's so different, like, you know, now I've got a manager as well, and they're coming in with so much stuff that I would never even think about, you know. So, and you can see how much, because, you know, the industry's, it's not just about music anymore, whether it was like that in the first place, I don't know. But, you know, there's so many other things to think about. And I can, you know, ever since I jumped on board and, you know, they'll be hitting me up with all this crazy other stuff that doesn't have, you know, like in terms of marketing and promo and, you know, and just to have that support, you know, and sometimes some of the stuff that I touch on, you know, you can see how a lot of people in the industry will shy away from that, you know, and to have these mob jumping in my corner going, yeah, yeah, do that, you know, it's like, wow, incredible feeling, man. And, you know, it's helped. It's in so many more ways than one, you know. So I really, like, count my blessings on that one, you know. Like, every day, man, I'm just like, phew.
Tell us about the second track you've chosen.
The second track I chose was I Can by Last Connection. You know, such an incredible track. It speaks to me on so many levels, and it, you know, the way it, how empowering it is, how strong it is, and how it's like boom in your face, and it's just, it's, you know, it's playing on that tip with, you know, our youth got shame issues and whatever, and even all our mob got shame issues, and it's just like, nah, I can, you know, and the way from the start when it's like ding 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 ding. And how it's got the clapsticks coming in, and then it's got the language singing and Radical Sons on there, and the hook, man. Everything about that track just blows me away. You know, I'm still listening to it and just floored. You know, such an incredible tune. So. Shame is even less, cause I'm a hard head. Doing my test, come on, give me your best. For less, well,
I'm selling the rest, cause I'm better than that. I'm ancient and that. We survive because we fit and I'm acting on that. Don't get caught in the plastic static Westworld. Which way? Who you mom? Where you from? Not the primates. My name's the more respect than most of human race. So remember your place, it's a stay in your space, right? I'm a middle-aged Murray with the gift of foresight. I see the days of the ancients rising overnight.
Away is celebrating 21 years this year. Where were you back in the early 90s?
In 92, I just moved to Adelaide from Catherine, and I was in year two. And I just started at the primary school in Prospect in Adelaide. So what's year two? I don't even know how old that is. But yeah, very young. I was playing the drums, not going too hard on music, but yeah, life was simple for me back then. I'm reminiscing now. Memories flooding back. Yo, what up? It's Jim Blah here. I just want to send a massive shout out to Away and a big, humongous happy birthday. 21 years is it's that awesome. The importance of having our own mob speaking our own stories, you know, and having our own avenue where we can discuss and all that kind of stuff is crucial, you know, and it's very empowering to be able to do it. And 21 years, look out, that's crazy. So once again, massive happy birthday. Keep killing it.
Now, your style, Bruss, are you more of a rapper than a poet or vice versa? Because I've noticed that the spoken word is becoming more prominent in what you have to offer as an artist.
I think Morganics broke it down for me really simple and plain, and he said there's rappers and then there's lyricists, you know, mm-hmm. And there's a massive difference, you know. You listen to the content of a lyricist and it's, the you know, it's so much more deeper. But, I mean, you know, I love spoken word, especially with people like Omar Musa, OBM, and Luca Lesson and people like that. It's, you know, it's such a good form as well, because you're stripping it. It's stripped back and you're breaking it down so they can really hear it and understand it. But yeah, it's a whole other platform that I have huge admiration for. Like it's mad, you know, and just how you can, you know, you don't have to be so structured within a beat. Like you're not kind of, you know, stuck in there. You can, and your voice then becomes the instrument that it can, you know, and, you know, and messing around with the whole timing. So it's very more free flowing kind of thing. But yeah, I mean, I love dabbling in it and messing around with it. But, you know, probably, you know, I'll still always be making music. So, all right, this is within the last 6 months, I heard about a place called Rottnest Island in WA. And it's like, you know, Western Australia's like premier hotspot in terms of tourism. And then I started looking into the history of the place, and it is scary, man. And just how it's been covered up, you know, of what went down. It was like, you know, blackfella prison for almost a decade, almost a century. And the kind of stuff that went down there is horrific. So yeah, this piece is about that. From the heart of the Kimberley, statewide shackled in chains, remember me. See, I've walked for 1,000 miles on bended knee, traveled across the seas to encounter my death. A sacred place I would dare never step, land where the spiritual dwell.
7 to a cell, white man call it rot nest. Limestone walls that are 3x2, a century of vile abuse. And some as young as 8 here up to 72. Old man Vincent got a hanging high noon. A warrior lies next to me dead, malnourished while his son sits across from him. If you could see the fear in his eyes now, you'd be ashamed. It's the same place that we so highly praise. The amount of pain that he's been through continues on a covert scale. But ain't nothing he can do from a quad locked up. Count him up another death in custody. A stranger left in a unmarked grave facing the east. No peace for the bones washing up on the shores. An island cursed, covered up by tourist money.
I don't think I ever asked you about supporting KRS-One last year on that second show.
Yeah, right.
Russ, there's a bloke now who keeps it real, Russ.
Yeah. Oh, man, it was overwhelming, you know. And I didn't know how to take it at the time. I was, you know, like, I remember doing sound check. The sound guy was like, all right, cool, man, we got to wrap it up fairly soon. KRS is almost here. And I was like, oh, look at it, you know, like, and I just remember, like, doing my thing, finishing sound check, but all, you know, rapping all the while, keep looking over at that door, like, oh look at it, you're going to walk through any minute, Shane, you know, like, I don't know, we'll just freeze or anything. Anyway, didn't happen. He didn't, you know, we finished our, because, you know, there's that other thing coming into play where you're like, oh, imagine if he hears me and he's like, oh, man, you're dope or whatever, you know, like, oh, you start thinking all kinds of different stuff. But anyway, didn't happen. We got kicked out of the venue before, you know, because he had to, it was kind of, you know, fairly. Like, security was big,
yep.
You know, so we had to get out of the building before he rolled through and stuff like that. But, yeah, I mean, such an honor. You know, he was such a big influence for me growing up, you know, and he's so powerful on his conscious tip, and he's just, you know, the teacher, you know. So, you know, it was a massive highlight, I think.
How's your live shows coming along? I know you did the whole bunch of dates with Smokey's Haunt earlier this year.
Arthur Boy, yep.
And you've got like 20 dates coming up with Horror Show. Yeah. Massive.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think maybe last time we spoke, I was saying how, like, you know, I don't get on the road enough. It was the kind of only thing that I felt was lacking in my music. So, yeah, now that that's happening, it's really good. It's becoming so much more, you know, like, I'm confident up on stage, you know, I still always get nervous and whatever, but I think, you know, just having that, it's so much different when you do a show every now and again compared to if you're doing them back to back, you know, and constantly and doing all kinds of, you know, different venues, different places. But yeah, I've started bringing a lot of my production stuff into my live show.
Yep.
In terms of, you know, messing around on my MPC, and, you know, because I DJ as well. So for the Horror Show tour, it's just going to be me and a vocalist that I work with, Georgia. She's going to be on board, and it's just going to be me and her. So it's quite stripped back, but, you know, we're going to be bouncing off each other, you know, and while I'm going back to the decks and the MP and messing around with that, you know, she's going to be vibing and doing her thing. So, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely looking at ways of how I can do stuff differently. You know, I mean, I think you can easily fall into the trap of just, you know, do the norm kind of thing. But, yeah, you know, so that's really cool, man. I'm looking forward to taking that, because that'll be a brand new set going out on the road for the Horror Show tour. So, yeah.
March is the first track off Phoenix. Touch on both the single and the upcoming album.
Okay, so March is basically, there's two aspects of it that when I started writing it, I was coming from, like, firstly is, like, if there's something that you believe in, don't stop and think about what the next person is going to think of you when you voice your opinions on it. Stand up and say it, you know, or if it's a cause, you know, stand up and fight for it. Don't Who cares what if someone's going to be over there, you know, like, you know. I mean, there's always going to be that mob, but, you know, so that's the thing. If you believe in something, you know, stand up for it, you know. And the other tip is, you know, basically questioning, you know, I love Australia and everything, you know, I know we're blessed. But, you know, it's questioning our ideals and our mentalities that are so strong here in terms of how we view, how the wider community views Indigenous people, how we view each other, how we view, like, asylum seekers, and even, like, it's just, like, there's this whole really selfish, arrogant, ignorant mentality that is so easy to get caught up in. And you go and stop and think about things and put it in perspective, you're like, whoa, I have no, you know, where am I even coming from on this tip? So, you know, it's basically questioning what a lot of mob feel in this country, you know. And it's like, sure enough, we're a beautiful country and we do have it so good, but we could be a great country, man. You know, we could be doing something like leading the world in terms of how we're dealing with stuff. And still, you know, racism's still a big issue that, you know, people kind of want to sweep under the rug, and, you know, but yeah, so it's basically anthem to, like, you know, snap out of that. We're all in this together. Let's, you know, let's work together on it. Let's stop being absent-minded about issues. Let's stop and think about how that next person and what that next person is going through, you know? Like you look at what's going on with the asylum seekers, and how people are like, you know, just stop the boats, send them back home. And it's like, man, these people are risking life and limb just to, and with their kids, you know? And you think, how the hell do people have a mentality like that, you know? It's sad.
See, I've been here, born and bred, thinking what they proud of. When our nation's how it is, we coexist. Yeah, I don't think refugees, sunken ships, we don't want them in. Our parents trying to save the kids. Tell me you comprehend. Others to concern for themselves, couldn't care less about anyone else. I'm singing low, save straight. Just take a look at what we made here. From slave ships to Great Britain's blood on their hands. Understand the royal fan flying a flag. Unlawfully stands a generation. Unlawfully here. I'm awfully scared. Scarred from a past I can't prepare. 1 million here to march. Strong and pilot. I swear. This the oath of promise. For homeless alcoholic. A fur, petrol sniffing teen, our single mothers caught the struggle, played the game. It's supposed to be play. I'm on fire, it's here. It beat the anthem, ball of fist, and stand up.
March, march,
so get ready to march.
You know, I was scrolling through your social media page, going back months and all that. There's a word that kept coming up in some of your updates. Change.
Yeah.
And your want. Just touch on change, that word, because it appeared a few times, eh?
Oh, man. Yeah, I'm sure it did. Like, we need change, man. We need to shift the wider community's perspective on how they view Indigenous people. There's a lot that the wider community need to bring, like, you know, non-Indigenous people, the government, the media. There's a lot they need to bring to the table in terms for the betterment of our people, Indigenous people. But there's a lot that we need to bring to the table as well, you know. It's like we've got our own issues that we're dealing with, and we need a stuff like, we need to stop fighting with each other, you know. We need to chill out off the grog, you know. We need to, you know, make sure we're taking the time to educate our youth, you know, and actually work with them and build them up so there's that strong foundation. So out the next mob coming up, you know, our future leaders can, you know, because I think about all this, you know, all the stuff that my great-grandma went through, and, you know, even my grandma and but even Mob before that. And you think, like, how much they fought for kind of, you know, like in the referendum and whatever, or with the Stolen Generations and what they went through, what they fought for. You know, you look at our generation and you can kind of argue that we've become very quite complacent, and you can kind of feel like, what could I possibly do, you know, and give up hope. But I think, you know, and it's like you see what's going on in our community, and it's easy not to see it, you know, but especially with remote communities. But even, you know, it's all you might see is the tail end of it, like is that young fella getting locked up for you know, doing home invasion or whatever. And that you might just see that, but you don't see his story. You don't see how he came from a broken home, and you know how he lost his father at 8 or whatever, and like the horrific kind of stuff. Where when you hear that story, you go, "Wow, okay, no wonder he's doing that." You know, change, man. We need it. We need it, you know, like we just got to keep striving for a better future for us all. It's sad seeing what our people go through, you know, and especially what our youth are going through. And it's like, the thing that gets me as well is that it's such a cycle, you know, and it's like, it's scary to think, are we just going to keep going in this cycle, you know? And it gets complicated because it's not just one thing we're dealing with. It's not just grog or whatever. It's not just, you know, poverty or whatever.
Yep.
It's, you know, we need to attack it on a holistic level. But, yeah, man, like, I think we need to keep striving for that change and really not give up hope, because, you know, if we're going to give up hope, then, you know, it's not going to happen. But the more of us, like, standing up and taking that initiative to really get out and do it, you know, the better it's going to be, you know, and the more we're just going to start killing it, you know, basically.
Tell us how Phoenix differs from Face the Fire.
Okay, so when I made Face the Fire, I really wanted to, I was scared about speaking a lot on my Indigenous perspective.
Yeah.
In terms of how I would be perceived, or how people would, you know, because, you know, when you talk about a lot of that kind of stuff, people can shy away.
Yeah.
So I tried to speak on a universal tip, just so a lot of people could relate to it, you know. And when it was speaking on Indigenous issues, most of the time it was very subtle. With Phoenix, I was like, you know, it was about 6 or 7 months ago when I was doing a lot, you know, and that's when it was like, nah, why, man, you know, like, this is me, why am I, if I can't be me and have my voice in hip-hop of all things, then what am I doing here, you know? So I was like, nah, this is, you know, I'm gonna speak, this is gonna be our story, no sugarcoating, you know, I'm speaking on the issues we face internally, you know, stuff like how we're fighting with each other, you know, and that kind of stuff, and, you know, drug and alcohol abuse, and, you know, but I'm also talking about the wider community, just basically our story. That's Phoenix, and the whole theme, the whole idea behind it was, you know, it relates back to Face the Fire, but for me, I used it as a metaphor, as in, you know, we've been through the fire, we, you know, we got burnt, it's now time for us to rise above it all, you know, and come back like 100 times stronger, and just do it in a really, like, kind of, you know, like, powerful way, and be that powerful being, you know, that we are, man, you know, like, and just rise up with the strength and just go out and leave them in awe, you know, like, I look at the Phoenixes, like, it's such an amazing thing, you know, it's like, when you look at the stories of it and the mythology and, you know, so that's the whole theme behind Phoenix.
The producer, MC and vocalist Jim Blah there with the final in our Heard It on the Radio segment, speaking with Away's Rico Adran. And Jim Blar's supporting Horror Show on an extensive tour of Australia beginning on September the 18th. Jim Blar's second record, Phoenix, will be available next month through his label Elephant Tracks.